19 years old. I had just gotten back from Florida College. And my parents, I was at home with my parents, and my parents decided to take off to West Virginia. So I'm thinking party time at my house. This is great. You're going to be leaving. We're ready to go. I'll bring the band together. We're going to make some loud music, order pizza, watch movies. So off they go. They take off, West Virginia. I'm ready for this. This is great. Got friends over. Do all those things. And after everyone leaves, all of a sudden it dawns on me. For the first time ever in my life, I'm afraid to go to sleep because of someone breaking in. Probably one of the most feared movies for me. They keep bringing it back. I don't know why, but it's the movie Halloween. Michael Myers. And sure enough, I guarantee you, he was at my door that night. I couldn't sleep. I kept hearing things. I couldn't sleep. Luckily for me, I'm an 80s dude, okay? So let me tell you what I had. Some of you all might have had this as well. I had me a Walmart special Rambo knife. Which, by the way, is the cheap version of an actual Rambo knife. But in this knife came ready for anything. If for some reason I needed to do stitches, it came with string. If I needed to sharpen my knife, which, by the way, I found out later that night, it wasn't sharp from the get-go. But it came with a little piece of brick. So I had my Rambo knife ready for anything. But it wasn't sharp. I freaked out. So you know what I'm doing in the middle of the night at 2 o'clock in the morning? Sharpening this knife. Ready for someone to walk in. I mean, I don't know why I couldn't think through the idea that we got knives in the kitchen that are already sharp. But I had to have this Rambo knife and be ready for anything. I was scared to death. I literally could not sleep. And this is a true story. I finally got up and went into all the doors and put chairs. You know, they say, I don't know how it works. You put chairs underneath the door or whatever, and you prop it up, and you're not supposed to be like, I don't know. You see it in movies, so I was doing it. I was scared to death. I was terrified. And that wasn't the first time. I was always a little scared. But, you know, when I was a kid, it was something a little bit more realistic than Michael Myers. It was Godzilla walking down my street from Japan, mind you, to my house to come and get me. But I always had these fears. Little did I know, being by myself, by the way, we did have some pretty cool parties. It was fine. But the nighttime was not. And I was scared to death. It was something that I had to figure out a way to overcome it. So I want to talk with you all tonight about overcoming fear. You could plug in whatever you want for that. Overcoming Michael Myers. Overcoming dinosaurs. You know, Jurassic World. These kids, you know, they got all these things in their head. But also overcoming lots of other more serious fears. But I thought I'd share one of mine that, yes, is funny to look back on now. And sure enough, they brought him back. There's a new movie. I'm not going to watch it. But apparently he's back. Soon he'll be coming back in a wheelchair, you know. He's going to keep coming at you. But before we get started, I do want to say Christy did respond. And she appreciates the things that we did. We appreciate Ed coordinating that, and we do appreciate she did respond. We're so thankful for that. Continue to keep them in our prayers and all. We appreciate the special prayers tonight. Kind of makes my job kind of difficult, to be honest with you, but we will bear through it and just continue to remember them. So we're going to talk about overcoming fear tonight. They say there's over 7,000 phobias, and phobias just means fear of something. You know, the most famous one is arachnophobia, you know, fear of spiders, which my best friend Shannon is terrified of spiders. But phobia is a word that's used, and it basically just means fear of something. They say that there's over 7,000 phobias. Some of you all might have seen this picture. You might have already been a little fearful of just the picture alone, fear of heights. There's one back there. Thanks for participating. I didn't even ask for participation. Look at that. That's awesome. So we're going to look, though, and kind of just break this down. So half of this lesson tonight is going to be very academic, and then the other half is going to be application on how we overcome it. And we're going to kind of go over that. But let me first define what fear is. So first, what is fear? Fear is a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, pain, or etc. Whether the threat is real or imaginated. In other words, fear is a state whereby you feel frightened or afraid, regardless of whether you should be afraid or not. And notice the key word is regardless. Like in my case, the fear really wasn't there, but I believed it to be there. But then there are fears that we do have that are natural. The experts say that phobias can be narrowed down into 5 categories. And those are the ones listed there. And there are the fear of extinction, mutilation, loss of autonomy, separation, and ego death. So each category should only take 20 minutes, okay? So it shouldn't be too bad. I'm joking. It's a joke. Don't be fearful of what I just said. We are going to dwindle this down, and we are going to focus. What I've determined is most of the time, a lot of our fears have one central component. For the most part, a lot of our fears, it starts looking towards death. It's things that we've talked about a little bit already this evening. This idea of death. Kind of like me, I think Michael Myers is actually going to come in and kill me. I felt like that I was going to die. So that is going to be our focus tonight, is just take a look from a Christian standpoint. How do we look at this idea of fear? What does it do to us when it consumes us? And how are we going to overcome it? So the first, these are going to be the points of the lesson, which is what causes fear, the effects of fear, and then finally, how do we overcome it? Okay? So let's move forward and take a look to see what causes fear. As mentioned by the definition, any distress one feels, either real or created, due to physical or mental circumstances we are in. It is also something that can be in the near future or distant future. And for many of our fears, we have learned, we have had experience which shape our phobias. Spiders, water for swimming, stage fright, crowds, social environments. For example, I was forced to lead singing when I was 14 years old, and I was fearful from that point on until my 20s, to ever get up and lead singing again. Some of you all, like Luke, about drowned twice. So therefore, he was a little timid with the water. Luckily, there was a lifeguard and there was me. One time I was just looking down like, oh, look, Luke's swimming around in circles. Wait a second, he can't swim. I was luckily right there. Some of you all have these experiences where we actually have experiences that create these fears in us. We have these things that happen to us that then impact our lives, and we have these fears that will taint us for the rest of our lives. It's important to note as we address these types of fears and what fears will do to us before we go too far into this is the idea that there obviously is some ideas of fear that are good, because the Bible mentions the idea that fear can be a good thing. So we're just going to look at that. There are many passages that support this, but we're just going to read two very quickly just to make sure we understand that as we progress along, we're not talking about this type of fear. Philippians 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And also in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we will persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. So this idea, this word that's in the Greek, that's for fear, it can also mean reverence or a respect. And so it's something to keep in mind. So what God is saying, his fear, the idea we are to have fear, we had to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, it's this idea of reverence and respect to have towards God and how we look at his commandments and his statutes. Okay? So just want to kind of hammer that out, that mostly what we're going to be talking about is the actual fear in other categories, not the good sense of fear. Okay? So the areas where fear operates or exists the most. We can't cover all of the specifics, all of those five categories, or all of those 7,000 different fears or phobias. But we are going to focus on the idea of death. Because just like what was said in the prayer, it is the most difficult one just to look in the face and overcome. Even as a Christian, it's a challenge. For me, and I think it's a challenge for us. So we're going to focus on that, and like I said, this can come in different forms. Why we're afraid of heights, we're afraid of flying. I'll be honest with you, I still really don't fly like flying to this day. Probably because I'm a control freak. I'm a driver. I mean, I'd rather drive 150 miles an hour somewhere. And those risks, but as long as I'm behind the wheel, don't put me in the back seat. Even going 50 miles an hour, that would be scary to me. But that's just the way I am. So the fear of flying, I'm not the pilot. It just scares me to death. But the idea that we have the fear of the ocean, roller coasters, I didn't ride my first roller coaster until I was 19. You're going to find out from tonight, I'm kind of a big scaredy cat when it comes to a lot of things. But those are some of my fears. Well, fears have existed way long time ago. We see that when the spies went out, they were afraid of death as well. And when they went out, and y'all are familiar with this passage in Numbers 13, the spies were sent out. And what they said, most of them came back, right, except for two, and said, dude, these people are tall, they're big. What they're saying is, we're going to die. And by the way, that's an exact quote, by the way, from 3,000 years ago, according to CNN. They said, dude, we're going to die. That's what they said. So they were scared to death. They were scared what they saw. But the two spies, of course, leaned on God's wisdom, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But that's a fear they had. They had a fear of dying, the fear that they were going to be overcome in death. Peter, walking on water, like I said, just referencing these passages. He had faith in God, but what happened? Fear set in. He started slipping. He thought he was going to die. I don't know whether Peter swam or not. But he was fearful and needed to be saved. But in the end, he was fearful of his life, something that he was afraid of. And so, therefore, death is the source of that. It's what controls us. It's a lot of times that causes us to react, to do things when we get scared. We feel like that we're going to die. And that's what we're going to focus on. Now we're going to look at the effects of fear. And this is where I found it extremely interesting. First, it's important to note from a scripture standpoint that this type of fear that I'm referring to can consume your life. Just like that evening, it consumed my life that evening. It can consume your entire life. And Saul is a perfect example of that in 1 Samuel 28, verses 1 through 25. And we see there, if you turn to it and just kind of glance through it, this idea that he was about to go to battle. He didn't know what to do. Samuel had just passed away. He's sitting there going, where's the Lord? He pleads with the Lord. The Lord doesn't answer. He doesn't know what to do. He's scared to death. So what does he do? He goes and seeks a meeting. He seeks a seer. And he's doing all these things and reacting. He was consumed with fear, didn't know what to do. And so therefore, he does all these things to try to control the situation, and it consumed his life. And that was the way Saul's life ended up. Remember, he had a distressing spirit. He was consumed with this idea of fear. Fear of David, fear of this, fear of everything going on. Well, that's what the scripture tells us. But also, studies have been done. And anxietycenter.com states, this emergency state, which is fear, and this anxiety, high-level anxiety, not only feels stressful, it causes damage to the body and affects your decisions, choices, communication, productivity, physical abilities, and so much more. Because of the fight, the freeze, or the flight state in which designated of our survival is overrides any attempt of any conscious mind of reason. While your body is in this state of emergency, certain functions are minimized or shut down to enable all resources to be put towards the escaping of life-threatening situations. So when you're fear or you're frightened or you're overcome by this anxiety, this idea of something's going to happen, there is a mechanism in your body, your whole entire body, that will trigger in order for you to be basically in an emergency mode to escape, to get out of a situation. Another quote on down, it says, on the site, it says, amongst the functions that are affected in this way is the ability to think clearly and problem solve. The prefrontal cortex of the brain shuts down during the stress state since it is not needed for running away, freezing, or fighting. This means that your ability to comprehend, communicate, find solutions, and reason are heavily impaired. Getting rid of fear is about more than just feeling better. It is about improving your ability to function effectively in all areas of your life. By the way, just as a side note, I don't know if Shane would make this point or not, but if you notice that running is an activity where you're really not needing to think that much. I'm just kind of letting you know, since I'm not much of a runner, it's just kind of one of those side notes that, you know, some people like to run, I don't. I'm one of those people where it's, instead of 13.1, I'm 0.0, you know. But here's the deal. The idea of running and fighting and all that are reactionary, and you don't need to think logically in those emergency situations. And what they're saying is when you're in that state of fear, you will not be able to think logically. And that's the key point I want you all to think about, is that when you're engulfed in fear, you will not make good decisions. You will not make good decisions. It will make some fears come true. Also, and the best example I can think of is if I have a fear of being accepted in a social group, I have a fear that I'm not going to be accepted in a particular social group, what do you think my chances of being accepted are going to be in a social group? If I've got a fear of it already, You can see where my decisions, my reactions, how I act towards someone. As soon as someone all of a sudden doesn't talk to me or pull me in, what am I going to be thinking? I'm going to be fearful. I'm going to be like, see, I'm not accepted. And that fear then will become realized all of a sudden to be like, man, I don't know what's wrong with Dean. But it's just, he's just kind of weird. Well, it's because I'm fearful. I let fear be realized. Does y'all see that? Just the best example I could get. Job interview. I'm fearful that I'm not the most qualified person. I think it's because of a mark on my face, or maybe my skin color, or maybe this. I'm fearful that they're not going to hire me because of this, this, and that. Well, guess what my chances are at that point that I'm not going to get hired? Because I won't be able to think clearly. The interviewee is going to see that, the interviewer, and they're going to see something's going on with this person. You're not be able to think clearly. Does that make sense? So fear can impede that whole idea of thinking logically and doing the right thing. Fear brings defeat. Fear brings defeat. In Matthew 14, Peter answered and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to the water. And he says, come. And Peter went out into the boat, and he walked on the water. We referenced this earlier. But then when he saw the wind, he was afraid. It began to sink, and he cried, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand. Fear will prevent us from having faith. Fear will prevent us from following the Lord. And that's what the lesson that Peter said. Fear spreads. And you can reference that in Deuteronomy, but we will move on. But fear will spread, and it will be contagious, and it will cause fear and fainthood and all kinds of things. If you turn to Deuteronomy, you can reference that. It will consume a group. It will consume a whole area. And in the end, in Deuteronomy, it's saying cast a person like that out, because we do not need someone like that around, because it will spread. Now, to our final points, is overcoming fear. This will be the last grouping of points, and then the lesson will be yours. So how do we overcome fear? And what I was focusing on, what we're focusing on here, is this idea of our theme this year. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory, and having love. So we're going to see some reoccurring things. So if you'll be just patient with me, I'm going to focus more on Scripture during this portion. Empty oneself and fill your hearts with Christ. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense for anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Let's do it with gentleness and respect. Then also, we'll take a look at rest in his love. Not only are we supposed to empty ourselves and fill our hearts with Christ, we are to rest in his love, in Christ's love. Ephesians 3 says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength and comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do more far abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. You notice the scriptures here use the word comprehend. Dwell in your hearts and comprehend with the saints, with knowledge. Well, how can you understand something or comprehend something when you have fear? You see, God's love is the opposite of fear. God wants us to understand. He wants us to comprehend him and understand his saving grace for us. It's the opposite of fear. God wants us to have faith, but that faith is based on evidence that we necessarily can't see, that we're using very, very intelligent logical processes that he's gifted us. We're not obeying on fear. We're obeying on truth and things that's been revealed. Just want to make sure we make that point. Also in Acts, Romans verse chapter 8, starting in verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom we foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those who he called, he also justified. And those who he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say then? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him gloriously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. God, who is to be condemned? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, he was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulations, shall distress, shall persecutions, shall famine, nakedness, danger, the sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angel nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us. Death, doesn't matter what comes our way, what looks us dead in the eye, nothing can change what God has done through us, through his grace, and separate us from our Savior. Live day by day. Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. Live day by day. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, press on to the goal, the prize, and the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. I will tell you, probably one of the biggest evils, at least that I have faced, is looking too far in the past of what I did and what I thought was accomplishments, or looking too far in the future and realizing what I'm not going to be able to do. Anyone that's battled with depression, which, by the way, I have, this is probably one of the big things, is to try to stay focused on the day and what you can do today. A lot of times when you're in that depressing moment and you're really, really challenged, it's like you're depressed about what you either didn't get accomplished or what you accomplished when you were younger and you wish you were younger again, or you realize that you're not where you're supposed to be or where you wanted to be, or this life has not turned out like I expected it. And depression will set in. That's fear. You're afraid that you're going to go through this life and miss something. And that's fear setting. That's Satan telling you. But we are to live day by day. I know a lot of people going through troubles. How you doing? They go, taking it day by day. It's a great phrase. It's something that I've tried to adopt. Take it day by day. And that is how we should look at all things. Take it day by day. Fill our hearts with love. 2 Timothy. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. You see that power, love, and self-control. We have a logical, we have a brain that he gave us that we can actually sift through things logically. We do not need to be fearful of the devil, that all those things are evil. 1 John says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We're to focus on love. We're focused on Christ in us. We're to focus on day by day. We're supposed to focus on his loving arms around us, no matter what comes our way, no matter what things we face, because we've already given it up. As Christians, we've given everything up to Christ, and he is there to comfort us. We just have to be willing to let go. And I'm telling you, that is the hardest thing in the world to do, is to let go of your life. Let go of your life and don't worry about what it ended up or how is it supposed to end up. But to let go. Which brings me to the conclusion is ultimately we can face death in the eye and focus on his blessings. Death has nothing on us. It shouldn't. Matthew 10:28 says, "And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both the body and the soul." But really what I want us to focus on, the last passage, and then we'll be ready to conclude for tonight, is 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through 58. "I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. And we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable. And this mortal body must put on the immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on the immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in its victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is law. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory over our Lord, over Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." If death has sting, then Satan has consumed you. We allow death to have victory, then sin has overcome and ruled in our hearts. If we have Christ in our hearts, then what is death of this mortal body? It is nothing. And in fact, when we became a Christian, what did we say to our body? When we became a Christian, what did we say to our body? We said, "Crucify it," did we not? We said, "Kill Dean. Kill who I am. Kill the old man and let me put on Christ." Isn't that what we said and did? Think about it. We've already gone through death. Those that are Christians that put on the name of Christ, we've already died. Because at that moment we said, "I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." I've already died. So what's death have for me now? Has that been the way our lives have been lived? That's not necessarily been mine. I have to keep reminding me of all this. But if you're out there right now and you have not accepted Christ's welcoming arms, if you have not, you may be just like me where your fear of death is consuming you. You may have a fear that I'm just not ready yet. Someone's telling me that I don't have enough knowledge. Don't let Satan infiltrate you in your mind. If you are here tonight and you're sitting here thinking, I am fearful of death, you can do something about it. You can go ahead and put yourself and allow God to immerse you and put to death and once and for all rise you up, ready to take on an immortal body when that time comes. The physical death may come much later, but it doesn't matter to you anymore. This is your opportunity tonight in any one of these situations. If we can help you in any way, come together while we stand and sing.